church, if you can grab your hymnals and open up Psalm 229. Psalm 229, since I have been redeemed. Psalm 229.
Thank you. great singing this morning. It's wonderful to have all of you here with us at Stronghold Baptist Church. At this time, we're going to go through our announcements. If you do not have a bulletin that looks like this, slip your hand up real high. We'll make sure that we get one out to you. Just keep your hands raised until an usher gets to you if you need a bulletin. And if you open up to the first page, you will see our service times listed. There's always Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 this week. We've got our soul winning times listed there, as well as our salvations and baptism for the month of January. Is there any salvation numbers to report for the week? Yes, sir.
For soul winning marathon, we had 10 salvations.
Oh, there's 10 on that trip yesterday.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's awesome. Well, praise the Lord. How many people were there about, do you know? 14 people showed up?
Yes, sir.
All right. So was it heavier on our side than on theirs?
Yes. We brought the Calvary.
All right. Well, hey, you know what? Praise the Lord, though, that there's still people out there that are trying to make an effort, that are trying to push to get people out, soul winning. You know, it may start off small, but that's how, you know, everything needs to start somewhere. So if these churches are kind of getting going with their soul winning programs, then praise God that there's people who are trying to get things going. So I always pray that everybody, every church, everybody's got the right gospel, is out there preaching the word of God, is going to be blessed and inspired and fired up to continue to do more work. And you know, any way that God could use us to help people, then we'll continue to do that as well. So thank you for that good report. So that's 10 salvations yesterday for that group. We're not going to take credit for those salvations. We're going to let that be the sponsoring churches. We'll get the credit for those. But hey, praise the Lord, it doesn't matter. There's more souls going to heaven as a result of that work. So that's the bottom line. But that's good news. I'm glad to hear about those salvations yesterday, as I was unable to make it. And then, Brother Carter, did you have your hand raised for one for yesterday? And then anyone else have anything to report? All right, very good. We'll keep up that good work, preaching gospel. We've got soul time this afternoon. You want to come out with us. It may be a little wet, but the little rain isn't going to stop us from trying to show people how to be saved. So we will be meeting up here 1:30 p.m. to go out and preach the gospel. We'd love to have you join us for that. Down on the bottom of the page, we've got the offering totals received through the month of January. And just a quick note, I will have your giving statements ready by next week. So if you prefer an email, drop me a note, let me know. I can easily email it to you, but I will have physical copies of giving statements throughout the year. If you have been giving by check, or if you've been writing your name on offering on the envelopes. And I'll go more into this in detail next week. But basically, it's just if you choose to write off your taxes, if you itemize and you like to show your charitable giving, we are we're nonprofit. We're not registered 501c3, but we are a church. We're a church in taxes, in the government's eyes. We are a legitimate church. Obviously, you're here. If you didn't think we're a legitimate church, I would hope that you wouldn't be here. So we give you that for you to have for your own records. Do with it as you will. And if you choose to give anonymously, that's totally up to you too. We don't, we're not trying to track down, well, how much is so-and-so giving? We literally just give you the giving statement so that you have a record to be able to supply if you choose to claim the giving in your own personal tax return. So we'll have those ready for you by next week. And then, and of course, if you see any discrepancies with it, just let me know, and we'll get that squared away as well. Prayer requests. So continue to pray for our ladies who are with child. Johnson's are expecting another daughter. We just found that out. So that's good news. And then the last I heard about Henry there in the middle of the page was that his surgery was successful. And now they're just waiting for another scan to see if he needs to continue with his chemotherapy or not. They're very hopeful that he won't have to. So continue to pray for him. Andy Schaefer already had his heart surgery. That was a successful surgery. To the best of my knowledge, we pray for his recovery and, of course, for his salvation. Mrs. Michael has been having problems, I guess, with the immigration paperwork stuff in order to be able to travel. And that, I'll tell you what, I don't have firsthand experience with that because I'm naturally born here and I haven't had to deal with immigration paperwork. But we've had many ladies that have come over from Korea and visited and were here during coronavirus and everything else. And that process is a nightmare. I know, like hearing these accounts of other people have to deal with this. They literally like just tell you, okay, we're going to call you sometime this month and you just have to answer the phone like in order to get this appointment or else what, you have to go back in line for another month or something before they'll even try to call you again. So you just like, you like always have to be by the phone at the ready, like you cannot leave to try to get through because it's just so, it's such a mess, right? That it's just a nightmare to deal with. So pray that everything will go well and that everything gets squared away quickly and the proper paperwork will be able to be distributed or dispersed or whatever they need to get this situation settled. To pray that God will bless them with that and that they'll have competent workers that'll be able to help get everything squared away there. We added a few people this week. Gary Ooms is a family friend of my family, my parents, a friend of theirs, and he's very sick in the hospital with COVID and COVID pneumonia and RSV, so it's he's not doing very well. My parents asked that he would be put on our prayer list, so I obliged, and we should pray for him. He's doing not very well, so please pray for his health. Also, Nathan Collins is someone who has been following us for a while and lives in Georgia. He's visited our camp trip a couple times. Some of you may know him. I've been in contact with him probably more than anyone in our church, but his dad, Gordon, has cirrhosis, and they're thinking it may be a result of his diabetes or other medications and things like that. They're asking for prayers for him. And then we got that update on Maverick that they're not certain why the you know, his head has swelled a little bit, but they're not sure if it's from his skull fusing or if it's from the fluid that was on his brain when he was born. So please continue to pray for him. Now, to date, everything has looked good. He's seemed and appeared healthy, and but that's still could be a very serious situation. Also, the doctors aren't going to see him without getting the insurance card, which is frustrating. I can't imagine what that must feel like as a parent. I mean, when you have a newborn, your first thought isn't, hey, I need to get an insurance card for this child or whatever. You know, I mean, that's not at the top of your list, especially when you're going through problems like this. But you know, just pray that everything will go well and that God will heal the child if there's anything wrong with them, and that everything will be able to turn out for the best and according to God's will. My family is still, you know, partially here, and I'd like to just ask for prayers. We're not on the list, but that the sickness will just leave our house. David is the most sick. He's got some sinus infection or something that just doesn't want to leave. And in addition with that, I just want to kind of give a reminder to the church as a whole. When you are sick, when you are knowingly sick or have someone who you know is sick in your family, please do not come to church. Please stay home. Okay, I appreciate the zeal. I know it may be an inconvenience. You may find out as you're on your way to church, you have a child that throws up or something, and you're pulling into the parking lot. Please, show some grace towards everybody else to not bring that into the church where we're all sitting together, because it can be a big problem for other families. And, you know, you may not think it's a big deal, but other people may, and especially those that have bigger families, it could take a long time for the sickness to get out of the house. Now, I have no idea if our sickness has anything to do with people bringing in, you know, people here. And look, people are going to get sick. It happens, right? But my point is just, if you are knowingly aware that you have someone in your family that's ill, please, please don't bring them to church. I mean, that's what we ask. It's what you see my example. My wife is at home with my children. that are not feeling well. Obviously, you have sniffles or you have a little bit of a runny nose. Okay, I'm not going to freak out about that, right? Just judge in yourself, but please, in considering other people, I know for a fact there's people who won't come to church because of a bad attitude of people just coming to church anyways when people are sick. And when you have immune compromised people, that's a big deal. So, just a reminder on that front. Churches and pastors, we got Steadfast Baptist Church back on our prayer list. Pray that God will bless them in their quest. It's probably a good word. Their quest to find and secure a building, a meeting location for their church that they will be able to meet without interruption and be able to stay and get planted down in one place and in the midst of all of their persecution. So please pray for them and their church. All right, on the next page here. Congratulations, Logan family. So it's a little bit late getting the picture in here. Apologize for not having that in here last week, but Hannah Pollyanna was born on January 9th. You can see all the details there, and praise the Lord for bringing this child safely into the world. And everything is going well with her and the family. And just love having the praise report of these answered prayers. On continuing down here, January is our Bible reading challenge. So the challenge is to read the entire New Testament this month. If you read 9 chapters per day, you will accomplish this goal. So hopefully you're sticking with it. If you get a little bit behind, don't get discouraged. Try to continue, because this challenge of all of them actually gets easier as you go. The by and large, the longest chapters in the New Testament are in the forefront of the New Testament, and the farther you get, it does get easier. So just keep that in mind. If you're starting at Matthew and going to Revelation for this challenge, don't give up. You could be spending a lot of time potentially reading 9 chapters in some of the Gospels. If you wanted to invest that time, if you got behind later on, you could get many more chapters read in that same amount of time. So just throwing it out there. And if you're able to complete this challenge, you will receive a prize. I apologize. I do not have the singing challenge prizes ready today. I will try to get those as soon as possible. Ministry luncheon schedule is listed here. Anyone who's interested in serving the church in any of the roles that are listed below, I'm having a lunch scheduled every week for the next few weeks. So even if you're not certain if you want to participate, please come and attend if you think you have interest in one of these functions. We have a need in pretty much all of them. We have people helping right now and are serving in various roles, but it's always good to have more, and as we've been growing and expanding, there is a need for more people to be able to cover the jobs and the functions that go on in this church. I'm actually going to be preaching a little bit about that this morning in general, but also one other note in regards to this luncheon. The thought and the design was not intended to have like everybody's families come along. If say you're serving the church in one of these areas or you want to come, the point is to be able to give information and have a meaningful meeting over lunch, but being able to talk about business. So if we have just a huge number of people, because there's lots of families there, it's just gonna make everything more difficult. Now, there's always exceptions to the rule, okay? So especially those who are planning on coming today, if you are planning on coming today to this one for the ushers, and you were planning on your family, like you didn't bring any food for yourself, if you normally stick around and you were all gonna go, oh no, we're gonna have lunch today, then that's fine. But for all of the future ones, try to plan accordingly. If maybe one person in your family is going to be part of this, try to work it out so that one person can go without everybody coming along, if at all possible. If that's not possible for some reason, that's fine. I just want to try to keep it to a minimum distractions, the ease of being able to get a table, we could talk together and things like that is kind of the priority. So just keep that in mind with all of these dates. And if I could, please get a raise of hands if there's anyone interested in coming today. I have materials. I'm going to have materials at each of these for people interested in coming. So each week I'm going to ask in advance, hey, who plans on attending this? So if you plan on attending today, can I just, you slip your hand up real quick? Thank you. Appreciate that. And I'm really looking forward to the growth. God's blessed our church. Things are coming together. Slowly but surely, we're the building is getting completed with all the work that we've done. We've just recently expanded and got gained the extra space back there. It's already just looks like one space now. I apologize for any of the construction material that's still left around because we are trying to wrap things up and get everything completed. Hopefully, it won't take much longer. But it's exciting. Exciting time for our church. Lots of things going on. Lots of opportunity to serve. And, consider these things carefully. Of course, if you can't make it, but you still want to be able to serve, you say, well, my schedule conflicts with your schedule here. That's also fine. This isn't like, well, if you can't make it on this day, then you can't do anything, you can't do that, right? Whatever. No. Just, it's the best time for me to be able to talk with as many people at once as possible, with the goals, with the mission, with what's expected in each of these roles. So if by all means, come and talk to me if you're interested and you're not able to make it on any of these times, any of these days. I will be more than happy to sit down with you personally and go through everything that I'm going to be going through at these luncheons. So just keep that in mind as well. All right, continuing on here, we've got the Bible memory passage, Hebrews chapter 6. I realize our week numbers had gotten messed up somewhere along the way, but this is week 9 of 11. We've got two more verses after this, and then we have a review week before we're done. So I hope you didn't think like, oh, Pastor Burson didn't notice, and now we've got extra weeks. We don't have extra weeks. We have a total of 11 weeks. So if I didn't update that number for a bulletin or two, that wasn't designed to make you think that we skipped those weeks or we still have to do those weeks. Nope, those were included. So we've got a couple weeks left to finish up Hebrews chapter 6. If you can quote that entire passage word perfect without making any errors, you will earn a prize for that. We've got the birthdays and anniversaries on the back for the month of January. So Josh has a birthday today. As always, we appreciate you being here, celebrating your birthday here in church with us. And after the service, you are more than welcome to help yourself to a frozen treat, an ice cream bar. We've got some nice options for ice cream stored in that deep freezer in there, and you could feel free to help yourself. That ice cream is also in stock and on hand for any time we break our attendance record. But our attendance records are actually pretty solid records at this point. We've had some big days, so we get some big days in the future and we'll be able to devour that ice cream. Otherwise, it's going to go for the birthdays. But your birthday has to fall on a church day in order to get that. So, sorry, Will. we don't have church on Tuesday this week, so you're just gonna have to wait. But Brother Mark, if he shows up on a Wednesday, you're here. Brother Josh. But we're gonna, and we sing happy birthday too. So we're gonna sing happy birthday to Josh. Now I've changed it for those of you that weren't here. I think on Wednesday we had a birthday. Instead of saying a person's name, now we're gonna sing happy birthday. We're gonna say happy birthday, God bless you. And that will be then uniform going forward for everybody. And then there's no confusion. Well, what do I say? And if there's more than one person, now what do I say? Who goes first? All that stuff, right? It's not awkward. So there's a good reason why I've known churches do that. I'm like, I'm going to make it more personal. But now it's kind of like, I think there's a good reason for doing that. So we're going to do it that way. But we'll sing a happy birthday for Brother Josh right now. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. All right. Very good. Now, continuing on here, we're just wrapping things up. The upcoming events are listed there. There's a homeschool field trip to the TELUS Science Museum that starts at 10 a.m. on February 10th, followed by our soul winning marathon that's going to be in town. And we will be meeting up here at the church on that morning. A similar schedule, what we've done in the past. We want to meet up here at 9 a.m. and we'll be leaving here out the door by 10 a.m. We'll have some breakfast food, some light breakfast for you provided here. We'll do lunch. We'll do dinner. But it will be close enough to the church building to be able to leave from here. But I'm going to be targeting an area maybe closer on the north end of town, kind of maybe heading up the 75 up that direction is just the plan. So, but we will be meeting up here. And as we always do, also for anyone who travels longer distances to come to our church, if you want to come to our soul winning event, we will put you up in a hotel on Saturday night just to make it easier for you to be able to make it all day for the soul winning marathon and then be able to stick around for church the next day. So anyone who travels extended distances to come to church can take advantage of that. The Next Gen Youth Rally is listed there at Battery Baptist Church. You can see more information on the poster in the back. And then May 1st through 6th is our camping trip. So I do not have the sign-up sheets this morning, but I'm planning on getting them out this afternoon to sign up for that event because I really need to get working on who is coming and who is not. That's it for the announcements. So I'm going to turn the service back over to Brother Peter, and he will lead us in our next song.
Church, you can get your hymnals and open up the song 412. Song 412, Onward Christian Soldiers. Song 412. On the verse,
Onward Christian Soldiers. Oh,
church while the offering plates are being passed around. If you can open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. That was 1 Corinthians, chapter 12. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. Last Brother Devin, can you please do that for us?
That was 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Brother DJ, can you pray for us?
All right, so this morning I'm going to preach a sermon. It's actually very similar to what I've already preached a few weeks ago, but I kind of want to follow up with this and just hopefully get you thinking even more about our church and the things that we can do in our church. And the title of my sermon this morning is The Best Church Ever. Now, I am not so arrogant or haughty as to think that this is the best church ever, right? the goat church, as it were, the greatest of all time. Right? I don't know. Whoever came up with that, when you apply to Christianity, it's a really bad example, because, you know, there's sheep and goats. You don't want to be known as the goats, right? But if you can be, have the greatest of all time church, hey, who wouldn't want to be part of the best church ever? Right? Isn't it? That would be a great goal. That's something that I want you to think about. And I want you to just take a second and just think what that would be. Like, if you were to walk in a church, what would it be? What type of experience? What would you expect to be able to walk away going, man, this is the best church that I have ever been to? Like, what would be the things that you would need to have happen? What is it about church that would make you think that way? Okay, and when you think about church, I mean, think about, there's a lot of different things that encompasses a church experience. Now, before I continue with that, I do want you to think about that. In this church, the way that we're going to accomplish that is that, even though I'm asking you personally, what do you think is the best church experience, this church is going to be guided by what does God think is going to be the best church, right? Because that's what matters the most. We're here for His glory and honor, not our own. And sometimes, as sinful human beings, our concept of things may not line up with God's, right? So there may be someone sitting here thinking, like, man, Pastor Berzins, what if I just walked into church and they just wowed me with a concert and a light show, and it was like smoke machine. I mean, it was like top of the line. You've got these performers and it's like a concert. Like, that would be the best church I've ever been to. Well, that's never going to happen here. Okay? And it's just an example, because that doesn't fall in line with what God is going to have his expectations for a church, with the type of music and things like that. Now, look, I'm not going to get all in the details on that specifically and the type of music and things like that. But the whole point, and one of the reasons we come together here, is because we do care about what God thinks first and foremost, and that is going to be the top priority. So once I have that established and we're all in agreement, like, okay, yeah, that would be what we're trying to discern, I still want you to consider every aspect of church, because every aspect does matter. Every aspect of us coming together. I mean, from the moment you say pull into the parking lot, maybe the ideal church would be really easy to park, and you have enough space in between the cars, so you're not, you know, running into people. You know, these are little details, okay? But I want you to think about those things. Because if you want our church to improve, if we want to get closer to the best church ever, we all ought to be thinking about all of these little things. And the challenge, and if you've been coming to our church for any amount of time, and I forget who told me this, but someone had mentioned, you know, one thing about this church is that you don't have an opportunity to just get comfortable. Because you are going to be pushed, you're going to be challenged. Now, look, you choose to do whatever you want. Everything is voluntary, of course, everything. We don't force anyone to do anything. But the preaching and what you're going to hear from the pulpit, what you're going to hear, very, very small snapshot where you can stay, you're like in this same exact state for very long. It's not going to happen. You're going to be going forward or backwards. We want to push forward. We want to press forward towards the prize, you know, the high calling. That's what we're pressing on, the upward way. As the song says, new heights I'm gaining every day. That is our goal. That's our mission. We're trying to do that. But in order to improve our church, I want you thinking about all of these things as well, because this isn't like just Pastor Berzin's church. This is your church. This is your church. This is our church. Now, of course, there's many things that I'm administering and in charge of and have some authority over. But we all, if we're all coming together for the same goal, that's why I want you thinking about these things, because no one person is going to be able to accomplish everything to make a church the best church ever. That's impossible. Well, this is the best church ever. Well, look, The church is comprised of the people. It's a congregation. It's a gathering of everybody. Everybody makes up the church. Let me put it this way. You know, you can go to a church. Let's just say you just have one thing that's all. You can have a church that has, like, the best preacher in the world. But if all the people are real lazy and no one cares and just, what you know, like just aren't motivated and aren't zealous, no matter how well the preacher's preaching and he's just doing the best job he can possibly be, you know, like, that's not necessarily a great church. You can have a great person, you can have a great preacher, you can have a great administrator, you can have a great, you know, or you could go to a church where, you know what, the music is top notch. I mean, this is the most godly, best, well orchestrated, you know, awesome church when it comes to the music ministry. But, you know, if other things are just totally lacking, well, there's a problem, right? And look, every church has its problems. You're not going to find the unicorn church that's just perfect in every single way. Every church has a struggle. So, and as a church, we need to grow. You know, you can read through Revelation chapter 2, Revelation chapter 3, and see all the different criticisms of the churches, the seven churches that you know, God was giving his letters to and saying, hey, you need to fix this, fix this, fix this. But that's what we're trying to think about. And I want you thinking about these things because you really need to understand what your role is in this church. And if you don't know what that is, I want you thinking about things and say, well, how can I help improve? Where are the areas that we do need improvement on? And let's work towards that. So from the moment you pull in, you know, hey, maybe the park is the best church ever, right? Well, how are you greeted? In your mind, when you come into a church, what type of greeting would you like to receive? What type of reception? What is it that you would expect to see? How does it look? How does the place look? How does everything look? You know, if you walk into a church and you see garbage and trash all over this place, and there's kind of a funky smell, and there, you know, like, are you going to be like, man, this is the best church ever? Probably not, right? I mean, and look, these are all little things. They could be little details, but they're all going to add up and be combined. Now, you may be able to overlook some things, right? Let's say we had a plumbing issue, and it just stunk in here for some reason, but everything else about the church is great. Well, we don't want to just ignore that problem, though. It's still a problem. Right? We still try to keep things running decently and in order, as the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. Right? So as we're striving to please the Lord, you know, the Lord wouldn't walk around. He told the people in the camp of Israel when they're wandering in the wilderness that they had to attach basically a shovel to the end of the weapons, so that when they had to relieve themselves, physically speaking, humanly speaking, they can bury it in the ground so it's not just, oh, I just stepped in something, right? So the dung isn't just all over the place. And God's saying, look, I'm going to be walking through the camp. So essentially, you know, keep it clean. Obviously, there's greater spiritual applications you can make with that. But nonetheless, that's still something, that was a detail that they actually had to do, right? You apply it spiritually as well, but physically they had to do that too, okay? And in the house of God, the church of the living God, you know, here among the congregation, we also want to keep things in order as well. In your idea of the greatest church, you know, what are the people like? What is the music like? What is the preaching like? What's the prayer like? What's the offering? I mean, every single thing that's happening during a service, we ought to be thinking about those things. Now, look, I do think about those things. That's part of my job. But what I want to express here and the mentality that our church should have that's different maybe than many other churches is that I don't want you just everyone coming in this church and just expecting, well, what can Pastor Burzins do for me? Now, we are here to serve. And I am here to be a minister unto everyone in this church. Absolutely. Absolutely. So when people are in need, I am there for you. But the mindset matters. Because a church, a good church, a great church, shouldn't only have one minister. There may be one bishop, but it shouldn't have one minister or one servant. It's going to be comprised of people who all want to follow Christ. And as Christ is the great example, Christ is the one who didn't come to be ministered unto, but to minister. As we progress in our spiritual walk and get closer to Christ, we become ministers as well. where we all can be joined and unified in the mindset of going, hey, I want to help, I want to serve. And the greatest church, in my mind, in my vision, is going to be filled with people who want to serve. And when you have a church full of people who want to serve, more work, more things get done to the glory of God the Father. Because if you come in with the expectation that only paid staff, only the pastor is the one who's going to be working in a church, your amount that's going to get done as a church, as a body, is going to be very small. Now look, I love this church, and our church is not like that, like I'm just describing. But I do want everyone thinking about this, because it's important, you know, as we get comfortable, especially to think, well, wait, what else can I do? Is there more that I can do? Are there more things that we can do to help this church improve? And there's been plenty of improvements recently. That's one of the reasons why we've upgraded our piano, because I want to upgrade the music ministry. I want things to be better. I want the sound to be better. I want, you know, we want to improve on that front. We want to improve on every aspect, every area, which is why I'm holding these luncheons that are coming up, because in order for things to improve, we do need direction. And that's my job, is to give direction. I'm trying to improve my role and my position every single day, every single week, every single year, to help improve and to give the most that I can in my area. So what I want to have is the least number of people going, well, I'm not doing this because Pastor Berzins. Right? I don't want to be that bottleneck. I don't want to be the source of no one can do anything, because I'm not providing the opportunity, because I'm not allowing for things to be done, because I'm just holding everything back, then I'm not doing my job very well. But there's also a mindset from everybody on the other side of the pulpit to not just come up with excuses either. It's easy to say, well, that's not my job. But the next time you think that's not my job, you think, well, can that be my job? Because if something needs to be done and something's failing, and you go, well, that's not my job, and you can see, well, man, this isn't done, and that looks like garbage, and this, you know. Well, it's one thing to identify problems. It's another thing to be part of the solution. And being involved in the greatest church, I would think, is going to be full of people who want to solve problems, not just point out and complain about problems. That's in my mind, at least. That's what I see. You know, I may have a different perspective being a pastor, but, you know, it's like, this is what I would like to see happen in a church, especially a church that would be considered to be the best church ever. And, you know, we started off in 1 Corinthians 12. I'm not going to reread the whole passage. I just want to point out a couple of areas here, because we are a body. And I pointed this out in the past many times, but it is important to remember that we are many members, part of one whole body. Look at verse number 12 real quick. The Bible says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Christ is one body, and we are all members of that body of Christ. And when we join together here and congregate in the local church, this is the body of Christ. And we are here as members of that body, and we're supposed to be functioning. And that's why it was important when I started off to say, hey, what's your vision of the greatest church ever? Well, a church, by the biblical definition, is we're supposed to be the body of Christ. So what matters the most is, are we pleasing Christ? What would Christ think is the greatest church ever? Because we're part of his body. So if we're part of the body of Christ, it's not about our own identity, it's about his identity. That's who we're serving. That's the function we're serving, is the identity of Christ. We're the ambassadors for Christ. We're the servants of Christ. We are the body members. He's the brain, the mind behind everything that we do comes from the Word of God. It ought to come from the Word of God. And we are the instruments. We are the vessels. We are the digits. We are the legs, the eyes, the ears, all these other functions that a body has to support the brain, the mind of Christ. So the best church of all time is going to be the most complete body, where everything is working. if you have a body that is lame on their feet and can't walk, that's very limiting to the body. You can't call that the greatest church of all time. If you have a church that can't really see and kind of stumbles around with things, and maybe they've got really good feet, but, you know, they're not seeing very well, that's not the best body. You know, this is what the Bible is talking about here, is being one body in the church. Jump down to verse number 18. Also, very important to understand, I brought this up in the past, bring it up again, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. You in this church, God has placed you in the body. I haven't placed you here. God placed you here. If you're a member of his church, God put you there for a reason. And just to clarify, what we consider to be members of our church, if you're a born-again, baptized believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you attend this church, you're a member of our church. We don't keep membership roles. There's no special privileges for members necessarily. You know, it's not like a members-only club. Now, we do dictate who can and can't join us in worship according to Scripture. Right? But that has nothing to do with the membership. Now, the membership in the world's eyes may be viewed differently, but when we're just talking about church members here, you don't have to, because other churches kind of make things complicated. You have to sign documents, you have to do all this other stuff, and it's kind of like more of a paperwork ordeal. We don't treat it that way, because I don't see that in the Bible, which is why we don't treat it that way. Because the Lord's adding to the church daily such as should be saved. The Lord is the one who's placing members in the body. So we're going to trust that the Lord is doing that as we continue to grow. You come to this church. You consider this church to be your church. You're born again. You're baptized. Then you're a member of our church. It's as simple as that. Everyone has a job function, though. Because we're members, because God has placed you there, God has a job for you. We don't believe, you know, we don't believe in evolution, and we don't believe in vestigial organs or vestigial body parts. You know what vestigial means? It means like kind of meaningless. So the theory of evolution teaches that, well, as mankind evolved from fish and lower beings and stuff, you know, the body parts kind of changed and they lost tails and whatever and other things, that it's just now you just are left with sometimes these body parts, organs that are just remnants of some other functionality, but it's basically just meaningless now. That's garbage. Look, we are beautifully and wonderfully made. God created us. God created man in his own image. Okay, he didn't create us in a monkey's image. He didn't create us in any other beast's image. He created us in his own image. And everything that went into our creation serves a purpose. Everything in our body serves a purpose, every organ, right? So some things it's more obvious than others. Potential, at least from our own understanding in our body. You know, doctors might tell you, oh, yeah, you could get your tonsils removed, but you know what? Your tonsils serve a purpose. Right. Oh, you could get your appendix removed, but your appendix serves a purpose. You know, yeah, you may be able to still live without it, but you won't be at your top. It won't be at the best performance, the way that God had designed and intended. So you, if you are a part of our church, you have a job. God has placed you in here for a specific purpose, for a job to do. And you may have multi-purposes, right? You may have many functions that God wants you to perform. You may have one. I don't know. But no member of this church was added by God to do nothing. No one has been. Okay, now, there's a lot of things that churches need and do. So there's lots of areas to serve and to find your place. But if God has placed you here, it's he's placed you in the body as it pleased him. That's what the Bible says. Now, if you aren't certain and you don't have a specific job or a function that you could think of, I have ideas for you to consider. Okay? And I'm not being a jerk about this. I really do. I mean, I'm serious about this. If you know, because I could empathize with someone thinking, I don't really know what I should do. I want to help. I'm here. I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to be part of the church. I want to be a member that is, you know, I have the same vision where we can all do things, but I just don't know what to do. Okay? I get that. And we'll help with that. Now, the first part I was trying to get you to just think, right? Just honestly, just think, like, are there areas where we could use improvement? And then what can I help with? Right? Some of the easy things to think about is like, well, we're undergoing some construction, and I have a skill where I can do this. Maybe I can help the church and do this, right? I can volunteer my time, and I can do this for the church, right? That would be like an example. But there's lots of other things you could think of. You could say, well, I'm not in any trades. You know, I have white-collar work. I don't know how to do any of that stuff. I don't know if I'd be very valuable at that. That's fine. You don't have to be, right? There's different people have different skills, and God has added different people for different purposes. But there's some things that everybody can do. You know, I talked about what would your experience be in the greatest church of all time if you were to show up? What would the people be like? You know, in my vision of the perfect church, people would be kind and courteous. You see, what's that? I mean, how is that even doing anything? Well, if people come and go and you don't speak to anyone, would you consider that as that person's real kind? Now, you don't have to be running around to every single person in the church in order to be kind to people, but consider that. You see someone, maybe someone's been coming here for a while, and you've never spoken a word to them. You can be kind to them. You can talk to people, get to know them a little bit. Be courteous, be kind, be thoughtful, be caring, be praying for people. Get to know different situations. Get to form the friendships and know the people in your church, your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's one thing. So if you're stuck on anything, well, I don't have anything to do, you can do that. And look, word to God, we would all do that. We could all be considerate of each other and concerns and the cares of other. You know, the Bible says, and we already read that passage in 1 Corinthians 12, but, you know, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or when one member is honored, hey, all the members can rejoice with it. Because we're all part of one body. So we ought to know enough and kind of have enough interlinking connections within the body to know, you know, like if you're the right hand, you ought to be able to know, hey, is the left hand in pain? Right? Is there something going on with the left hand? Hey, maybe the right hand can pick things up a little bit and do some of the work to help support the left hand during its problems and whatever it's, you know, whatever. These are things that we can be thoughtful of. Actively engaging with people, you know, especially visitors. We have people coming in, visit our church. You know, I've been and visited many churches just in my time. You know, I've visited plenty of places. We go on vacation. I love to go and visit new churches. And I'll tell you what, the churches that I love the best, oftentimes in my memory, it's how have the people been? It's not even so much the preaching as much. Now, normally, if you have really good preaching, a lot of the other things tend to improve and become better. That is a good correlation there. But the churches that I could think about that I visited, man, I love the churches where the people are just warm and welcoming. They don't have to be over the top and just really kind of in your face, but just you feel welcome. Because I'll tell you what, I've been to churches where people look at you like, who is this guy? As an outsider, like, you know, because I would always sit in the back, so people kind of look over like. That's not very welcoming. Now, maybe those people are saying, hey, look, there's someone new here. Right? And it could all be well-intentioned, but for the visitor, that's not what they're seeing. They're going, oh, well, maybe I interrupted their church service and maybe I should leave now. Right? We don't want to have that attitude. And, you know, again, and none of these things I'm thinking like, oh, we have this horrible problem with this, but I want you thinking about this, and I want everybody thinking about this, because there are plenty of people who do, there's someone in our church that does all of these different things, But it's not necessarily everybody, right? We all want to grow. We all want to be able to improve and try to make this the best church ever, even if we can never reach that goal. Let's have that vision for Stronghold Baptist Church so that when people leave here, they could just be like, man, that church has its act together, is serving the Lord. God is definitely being recognized and being exalted in every aspect of the worship of in that church. People are treating it seriously. It's not just a game. It's not just a social club, right? Because you could have churches that are just really friendly, but it's just one big social club. And there's actually no real reference to Christ and no real service to the Lord and nothing actually being done that much to serve God other than just being friendly and kind and courteous to people. But we want the whole package. We want it all. So think about the areas where you can be, you know, praying for people. Anybody can pray. Everyone can pray. We help you out by creating prayer lists. Add to this, right? Pray for the people on the prayer list. Pray for the people that are in need. And then pray for other people that aren't listed here. But everybody has needs. Everyone has concerns. Everyone has struggles. Everyone goes through different things that may not be on the list. The more you pray for people, the more you're going to love those people. I mean, you put those people in your thoughts and in your life. And now look, everything that I'm going to bring up here is going to be, to some degree or another, a sacrifice. Everything is. But what did Christ come to do for the world? He gave the ultimate sacrifice. Things get inconvenient in service, in ministry. Okay? Believe me, there's times where serving can be inconvenient. It happens. But you have the choice. Do I not serve because it's inconvenient? Or do I serve anyways even though it's inconvenient? What's going to make the church great? A bunch of people who don't want to do anything when it becomes inconvenient? Or the opposite? I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want to be in a church where if I come on my time of need, and I'm in a really bad place, and I need help, but it's going to inconvenience somebody. I don't want to be in a church where everyone's like, man, sorry, I can't. And then no one's there for you, because that's what happens. Now, maybe not everyone in church is like that, but if you're like that, you're just going to leave that up to everyone else? Maybe we can improve in that area, right? Think about these things. You know, let's take on the responsibilities. And honestly, the more you take on, God sees that. Everyone doesn't have to know about all of the things that you do to serve the Lord. You know, Matthew 6 talks about not giving your alms before men to see, right? God's going to see that. The good things that you do, the blessings that you give to people, no one has to see that. God sees that. When you pray to God, it doesn't have to be out in public in front of everybody. You pray in your closet. God hears you. Do the service. Greet the people if no one, even when no one sees. Help people out. Pray for the people at home. You don't even have to say anything. Just do it. Now, there may be a value for telling someone, hey, I am praying for you, to help them even feel more comforted. That's good, but you don't have to tell everybody, oh, man, I've been praying for so-and-so every day this week. Well, careful not to just lift yourself up with how holy and righteous you are, right? Do it for the right cause. And not to bring the glory on yourself, but we're glorifying God. And I'll tell you what, even if you know no one knows, prayer is just as powerful as it ever was, no matter who knows about it, because if you're praying to God, God knows. And he's the one that we're praying to anyways to help in whatever situation, and he's the powerful one. How about even something as simple as cleaning up in here? You know, I mentioned if it's just a big disaster, right? Everybody is capable of picking up a used bottle of water, yeah, or a bag of chips, or crumbs or whatever, right? Ground coffee, right? You see things. I mean, I go through this every day of my life at home. I try to instill this at home in my children. Hey, if you see something that's messed up, I know you didn't make that mess. I know that. I know. And you know, it's not right for someone else to leave you a mess. But if you see that mess, don't just walk by it. Do something about it. Because at home, when I talk to my kids, we all live in this house. So when there's stuff on the floor, there's a mess. We all have to look at that. We all have to experience that. That's all part of our house. It's part of our life. Look, I don't want that there as much as anyone else. That's why when you walk by it, you pick it up. You deal with it. Well, why would that be any different in church? We're all utilizing this space. We all want things to be done decently and in order. We all ought to have a respect for the Lord to consider. While yes, church is not about the building. It's not about the physical building. We do congregate together, though, and we do use the space, and we are using this space and our controlled environment to try to maximize our service to the Lord. And it also does matter, you know, our own cleanliness. It does matter. Okay? God's not calling us to be a bunch of slobs. And how helpful is that? Because, you know, we have people who sign up intentionally to clean and kind of do the extra work of mopping and wiping things down and doing all this stuff. And praise the Lord for everyone who volunteers for that. But you personally, maybe you're not on that list. Maybe you're not on the list that week. Maybe you do other weeks. But you see something or you're not on the list at all. You know what? That helps the people who have already been assigned the job. That helps them. Instead of going, well, that's not my job. Someone else is on the calendar. They could deal with it. How about you just help? Because then you could be a blessing to that person who has already taken on the responsibility to not make them stay an extra hour or half hour or 10 minutes or whatever in their life. Because, look, they're busy too. Everyone's busy. You could get involved with the various activities and events. Not just by participating and enjoying them, which, we have events for people to enjoy. There's nothing wrong. You know, I want you to feel guilty by, like, enjoying yourself at church, even though I am talking about doing work and sacrificing and helping. Of course we come together, and we ought to be joyful and blessed by the service in church. You know, I don't want you to feel guilty over anything that you receive in church. We're here to be a blessing. You know, no one ought to feel guilty about stuff. But at the same token, you still ought to be thinking, how can I also help, right? It's more blessed to give than to receive, and everything functions much better when people help out. So, you know, we don't have a problem necessarily in any one particular area, but I'm challenging everyone individually to just think about these things. You know, we have big events, and we need to move the chairs around and set up tables. I mean, there's a ton of people that step up and do it. And, you know, praise the Lord for that. But maybe there's other areas where that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? So we ought to be thinking about these various things. You know, other things outside of what I just mentioned, you know, there's a great example of someone recently who said, hey, you know, because I preached on this relatively recently. You're like, hey, I want to help. I want to use the skills, the abilities that God's given me to just do something for the church. And that's why we have the potted plants that are out front. Because someone cared to do what they can do and saw something that could be improved. And it is an improvement. And it does look nice. And other people have brought in, you know, these various things. Like, I didn't do all of this stuff personally. Other people have thought about, you know, even just the beautification, making the place look nicer. That helps. Those things help. And when we get everybody thinking about these things and going, hey, what else can I do to help? Where can I give value to church? That's going to make the church increase and become greater. You know, I mentioned sacrifice. Turn back if you would. Well, wait, we're still in chapter 12. Yeah, stay in chapter 12. You know, I think about church. We've been expanding. We want to grow, right? We want to expand. And, not expanding for the sake of expanding, but expanding because God's adding more people to this church as he sees fit. We're not trying to artificially pump up numbers, but hey, if God's going to continue to see the work that's being done and say, you know what, I'm going to add more laborers. We all ought to rejoice in that and also be willing to maybe sometimes give a sacrifice to help that happen too. So how may that come up? Well, maybe when it comes to transportation. This is why a lot of churches have church vans and church buses and things like that. If you want more people to be able to show up, especially people who care, they want to show up, they want to serve God, they want to grow, they want to be part of this church, you know, it's not always easy to go out of your way and to help pick people up for church. But, you know, we ought to be thinking about that as well, going, you know, I'm willing to make the sacrifice because we care about people being here. And hopefully one day we will have a church vehicle and we will have someone who will have that specific responsibility. And we'll have multiple people who want to come. I mean, we go out and knock on doors, and we go out soul winning and maybe lead people to Christ. Oftentimes, they're in poor areas and poor neighborhoods, and they may not have transportation of their own. They may not have a vehicle of their own, whatever the circumstance is. But you do want them to come to church and grow and get baptized, right? I mean, I do. Absolutely. We want that to continue to happen. For sure. And sometimes, you know what that's going to require? And people do that, right? Like, I'm not just saying that no one's doing that, but there's so many different ways where you can say, I'll throw my hat in, I'll help, and I'll do. And here's another thing you could think of, too. If you say, well, I don't know why I could be a help. If you notice someone that's just kind of doing everything, that's just doing a lot, why don't you see if you could just help that relieve some of the burden off that one person? That may just be doing as much because they have a great heart, they want to serve the Lord, and if there's a need that's not being met, they're willing to just do it. Well, they don't necessarily, you shouldn't have to do everything either. You can relieve a burden. So there's lots of things to be kind of thinking about and looking around at what you can do. Continuing on here, look at verse number 27. The Bible says, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now, all these things that are mentioned here, you know, we don't have a lot of these things here. You know, we don't have someone who has a gift of healing. We don't have an apostle in our church, you know. Now, some people in the Bible had multiple gifts that were bestowed upon them, and some didn't. But God is giving as he will, and he's listing off these various functions. Now, these aren't the only ones, because look at what he says in verse, look what the Bible says in verse number 31. So even though you have all these different positions and titles and things that might get the most attention, especially, right? People involved in these high positions. He says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, verse 31, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So you have all these other things, you have all these, you know, these jobs being done. He's like, but I'm going to show you a more excellent way. And what it really gets down to and what matters the most, regardless of which gift God has given you, regardless of which of these things that God might have bestowed upon you, he says there's a more excellent way. And then it goes into chapter 13, which is the charity chapter. It's all about charity. He says, you know, let's read it. Look at verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbals. So he starts off with being able to speak with other tongues. You know, right before that in chapter 12, he's saying, well, hey, does everybody have that gift or ability to speak? You know, these are things that are focused on. These are spiritual gifts that people could get from God. But the next chapter, he's just saying, look, I could have all these tongues and be able to do this, but if I don't have charity, it's like nothing. I mean, it's good for nothing. So instead of focusing on or worrying about what gift God might bestow on you, get your heart right. Because with charity, you can potentially do more than people who's been given you know, these extra gifts if they don't have charity. Because he's saying here, you know, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can move mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Like, it's good for nothing. So what is charity? Charity comes from that word of care. Okay, it's a love. It's a type of love, but it's a specific, you know, love where it's a selfless love. We'll read the attributes of charity, verse number 4-7. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. So it's not proud. It's not all about, you know, it's not all about you. When you have charity, it's about others. Suffereth long, right? You're able to handle a lot of things that come your way, a lot of infractions or trespasses against you, or you know, being able to just deal with stuff and suffer long. Not envious. Verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Right? The charitable person isn't just getting all of their enjoyment from iniquity, from the sin, from the sinful things on the TV, from the sinful things that people do. Oh, man, isn't that, you know, like, look, don't rejoice in that stuff. Rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and doeth all things. You know, I could go on and on just preaching through what charity is, but this is called the more excellent way. We want to be the best church ever. We ought to be excellent. We have an excellent way. It's going to start with your heart and what you want to do. Let that manifest outward then in different areas and start to look around, but get your heart right. Go, get your heart ready to be charitable, being selfless, ready to give, ready to work, ready to do what needs to be done. The Bible says in chapter 14, verse number 12, if you want to flip there, you're just one page away probably, 14:12, even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. That's what we ought to be seeking. You know, there's all these different gifts. There's nothing wrong with wanting to have a spiritual gift. There's nothing wrong with wanting to get one of those things that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 lays out. But he says in chapter 13, hey, you know, more important than all this stuff is charity. And then in chapter 14, he's saying, you know what? You can be zealous for spiritual gifts, but how about you seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Try to build up and lift up the church. That's what the edifying is, serving the church. Excel. It's like where the word excellent comes from. Let's excel. Let's try to be great. The Bible says, you don't have to turn there. Turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Every job that we do, especially here, especially for the church, especially in the ministry, you do it as you serve Christ. You just envision Christ as your master. Because he ought to be anyways, but you don't forget that. You don't skip out. When you put in any work in anything here, you're serving the Lord. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. Which, again, could go back to some of the most menial tasks, the smallest things. Hey, if we're here to serve the Lord, should we just allow trash to just be littered all over the place? I mean, should that even have to be said? I mean, if we want to be excellent, that's like, you shouldn't even have to mention that, because we're trying to move on to much higher callings to be excellent in reaching people with the gospel, and how can we reach more people, and what can we do to better the ability to show people from the gospel, show people these verses, try to explain things. How can we do things better to reach more people? That's the highest calling. But every aspect ought to be done, not just that one as being excellent. How about all of it? Because you don't have to sacrifice one for another. How about we just try to be excellent in all that we do from the smallest task to the greatest task? Give it your best. You know, I'm a firm believer, you ought to give your best with everything that you do in your life. If you're going to invest your time into something, do it right. Just don't cut corners, don't cheapen it. You're putting your mind to something. Have a good testimony of Christ in you that just cares. The cares about things. You know that word charity? You care. I care about the things that I do. I don't have a flippant, I don't care attitude about everything. You're not going to succeed. I'm not talking about earning money either. I'm just talking about, you won't succeed in any way. If you just have a flippant, not caring attitude, you have no charity if you don't care. So whatever you do is going to be like nothing. Oh, man. I spend way too much time. I have a lot, believe it or not, I have a lot of scripture, but it doesn't seem like it from the beginning of the sermon. We'll get through this quickly, though, I promise you. Actually, I have an entire segment that I might just hold off on because it's already getting late. Ephesians chapter 5, though, one of the ways that you can help the church to improve is actually being able to focus on getting sin out of your own life. Letting Christ show you your sin and improving by getting that out will help. Because here's the thing. When the Bible's talking about whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Well, if you got one of the body members that's deep in sin, that's like an infection. It's like a disease, right? Sin is like leaven that could leaven the whole lump. Sin infests and is bad, right? The wages of sin is death. So you don't want to have one of your body members just kind of rotting away because it's just engulfed in sin, right? How are you going to help the whole body? Well, and you know what? It kind of harms the body if you got people just engulfed in sin. Improve. Now, that's going to be something that every individual should be looking to and striving for anyways, but it does help the church. Look at verse number 25 in Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, oftentimes when I turn to Ephesians chapter 5, this passage, I'm teaching on husbands and wives in the home. But there's also the truth of Christ in the church, right? So there's more than one thing to look at here. So we're going to be looking at what the truth is about Christ in the church. So as he explains, hey, husbands, love your wives because Christ loved the church. So the husband is supposed to be this representation of Christ, and the wife is supposed to be a representation of the church. So since Christ gave himself for the church, husbands ought to have that same love of their wife, willing to give themselves for their spouse, for their wife. That's the role that God is assigning. He's kind of showing the similarity between the two. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the church. What is he talking about? The church. That Christ might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word. So Christ loved the church, gave himself for it in order to sanctify the church and make it holy, right? His sacrifice was able to wash away all of the sins of the church because Christ paid for that. Christ sacrificed for that in order to be able to present himself, as it says in verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, he did that through salvation, okay? Absolutely. And the church is full of saved people. So we are, in the one sense, holy, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, because Christ has saved us, because we have Christ in us, right? But on the other hand, there's also still the physical sense of being in this world. and walking in that flesh, God still has called us to sanctification while we're alive in this body, in this flesh. Even though he's redeemed our spirit and we have the new man, he still has called us to walk holy and separated and sanctified outside of that. Because he wants his church here to be without blemish, without spot, and without wrinkle. And that's for the betterment of the church as a whole, when we could look at that in ourselves. Now, I have a whole section here. I'm just going to do this another day on the music, because that's another important aspect. But you know what? I will just preach this another day. We are way beyond time. I'll close with this thought, though. So, I would love for it to be said that Stronghold Baptist Church was the greatest church ever. Right? Be great. Even if you could say that's unattainable because we don't have, like, Jesus Christ as the pastor or the bishop for the, you know, like, literally in the church, fine, I get that. Okay, I'm so far from Christ, I understand. And I'm not the Apostle Paul and I'm not the Apostle Peter. But we don't know what their churches were like. You know, who knows? But let's just strive that we can be, in God's eyes, like one of the seven churches where he's just like, hey, you know, keep it up. You might have some hard times ahead, but you know what? I see what you're doing. Stay faithful unto death, and I'll give thee a crown of life. Right? And where God can come to us and say, hey, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Hey, you've done a good job. Stronghold Baptist Church, you know, in God's eyes, we want to be just seen as there's a church where God is going to continue to want to add to, because we already have our hearts in it, and we're striving to improve all the time. How can we get closer to Christ? How can we do things better for you? How can we call out the sin? How can we identify the problems? How can we administer wisdom? How can we get people saved? How can we change lives through your power, God? How can we bring more glory and honor under the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior? What else can we do? That's what we're striving for. So we do that in the best way that we know how in every area. Let's strive for excellence, whether it be in preaching, whether it be in playing the music, whether it be in singing, praying, everything. Strive for excellence in service to the Lord. Do things God's way and make an effort to improve. You don't want to sing and praise the Lord in church because you feel like your voice isn't that good? Improve. Yeah. Work on that. Right. You play in the music ministry? Hey, work at that. Improve to the best that you can. You preaching. You want to be a preacher? Work on that. Try to improve. And we'll have people who'll try to help you along the way with all of these various things. You're not praying as often as you should? Work on that. Put conscious effort into it. Nothing happens by mistake. That's right. That's the other thing. You will never see the greatest church ever is just by all just kind of, well, it just kind of fell into place. And No. It is effort. It's going to be work. You want this church to be a great church in the sight of the Lord, it's going to require the work of everybody. All of our members striving together, working together for the same cause, being united. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've given us, dear Lord, and I pray that you would please help us. Help us gain wisdom. Help us to gain understanding. Help us to come together more. I pray that you please continue to add to our church. Help us to reach people with the gospel, dear Lord. Help us to do your will. And to know your will, and Lord, just bless Stronghold Baptist Church. We want to bring glory and honor under the name of Jesus Christ that could be known far and wide as a result of our labors. And God, just help us in this endeavor and show us the right way. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Peter, please lead us.
Psalm 327, Higher Grounds. Psalm 327.